Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join a member of our staff as they share another message from God's Word.
Good morning. We are excited to be with you this morning. As Pastor said, we're Nazarene missionaries, and basically that means every time that you hear about something called the World Evangelism Fund, maybe there's somebody that stands up here and says, we're going to do a missionary offering or a missions offering, we are direct recipients of that type of financial support. In the Church of the Nazarene, we've been sending missionaries all over the world for over 100 years, and so the stories that we're going to tell you today are very specific to the countries that we live in. However, your financial support helps the missionary strategy of the Church of the Nazarene in 162 different nations. We are a church that believes the whole world needs to know who Jesus is. Yeah. And we don't just say it, we don't just preach it, we don't just pray about it, we say financially we're going to make sure that happens. And we thank you for that. We thank you that when God placed a call on our lives to serve as missionaries, that he called an entire church to say, but there's going to be an entire church that supports you in that. We never feel alone in the things that we're doing because of churches just like Flushing Community. We're excited to be here with you this morning. As the pastor said, our children are not with us, but we hope that all of you received a magnet when you were on the way in. I noticed that there was a little guy, I can't remember his name, he was 8 years old, and I said, how old are you? He said, and I said, you're a volunteer in training. I like that. Right here. I see ya. Yeah. Yep. That's right. You guys are doing it well. If you got your kids involved in your ministry now, that means you're going to be a thriving church come the future, right? And so we want you to put that magnet on your refrigerators or a filing cabinet, or if you're in high school, you can like put it up in your locker and be like, hey, who's that weird family in your locker, right? It's a really good conversation starter sometimes. But when you see that magnet, pray for our family or pray for something that you hear about in ministry this morning. We want that to be a prayer reminder. We want to show you a picture of our region because sometimes we can talk about the world or the globe and we don't quite know where we're talking about. We live in the Dominican Republic, which is very close to the United States. We live in the Caribbean, and so we live on a Caribbean island. It's everything that you've ever imagined it to be. Beautiful beaches, palm trees, yes, that's where God has asked us to serve him, and we do it willingly. We also serve the nations of Mesoamerica, which is all of the nations, Mexico all the way down to Panama, all of the Caribbean nations in three countries in South America. We're excited today to share with you just a little bit about what God has asked us to be a part of and us to be a part of in the Church of the Nazarene.
You'll hear a little bit about what our ministry deals with, but we want to kind of use a passage from Ezekiel 37 to serve as a metaphor, right? It's going to serve as a metaphor for the city, you'll hear about that in a bit, but also for us as a church many times. And the first few verses of Ezekiel 37 say this, "The hand of the Lord was upon me," Ezekiel is saying, "and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones." Later in verse 2 it says, "bones that were very dry." Now, I don't know about your theology, but we're not very comfortable sometimes with God leading us into a valley, okay? A lot of times we think, you know, and I hear it a lot in popular culture, you know, oh, well, God would never lead you to a difficult place. You know what? That's wrong. That's actually wrong. God leads us into the valley sometimes. You know, if you think of the Mount of Transfiguration, if you remember, a lot of us want to stay on the mountaintop, just like Peter in that moment. There's Moses, there's Elijah, there's Jesus. He says, let's just build houses here and stay on the mountaintop. But the bulk of our life is spent in the valley, is spent in the real life. And this isn't just any valley. Ezekiel, a leader of the church, finds himself in the valley, but finds himself amongst dry bones. Now, a lot of us maybe have heard this before. Some of us maybe have not. But dry bones, this is not like, oh, dry bones, that happens to us every day. Ezekiel is in the midst of death. He is in the midst of a place that once was an army, but oh, it's not that anymore. I mean, these are dry and dry. It says in Spanish, in gran manera, they are very dry, right? Are there any points in your life that have just felt dry? Are there any points in your city that you would say, I don't want to go there? Are there any points in your family that maybe you would say, oh man, I don't know, that's a valley of dry bones?
As we came to the region 16 years ago, we've been serving the Church of the Nazarene, but we've lived in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic for the past 6 years. But we've always lived in really big cities. We didn't quite know that God was like preparing us for the ministry that we're involved with now. We lived in Guatemala City. We lived in San Jose, Costa Rica. We lived in Panama City, Panama. All huge capital cities with millions of people in them. And we didn't really understand what type of ministry we needed and that we're in right now that is called Genesis at the time. Genesis is basically an urban initiative in the Mesoamerica region because we realized that in these areas where we have very large populations, we just don't have a whole lot of church presence. But what does the city bring to us? As we lived in the cities, we easily were able to figure out that our kids could go to a really good school. We could easily find dentists and doctors. We were able to buy almost anything we wanted in the supermarkets. In fact, as I was looking at the VBS things up here this morning, when you were talking about it, Pastor Steve, I thought, you know, I bet you some people, when they hear that it's Missionary Sunday, they think, this probably feels like home to them, right? Like, this is what we get in our minds of missionaries. They probably have to sweep out the dust of their thatch houses every single day. I have to sweep out dust, but it's in my very well-constructed concrete house in the middle of the city. Right? We are urban missionaries, but the city offers all of these wonderful things, but right alongside all of those wonderful things are the things that we typically think about with the city. So typically we think about like the pollution or the contamination that we can see in the air. We think about the lines of traffic, which are very real. We have wasted what feels like so many hours of our life sitting in traffic jams. We see often the street corners that you would never want to pass in the middle of the night, let alone at 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening, because you know some illicit activity is going on there. That's the reality of our city, and our cities are just growing every single day. The way that we know that Santo Domingo is growing is because there are apartment complexes that are being built every single month. It seems like we can go down the same street and it's like, oh, look, they're building there now. Oh, look, they're building there now. And our apartment complexes aren't just created for 300 to 400 people at a time. They create these complexes for 5,000 to 6,000 people at a time. The picture that you see behind you is in very close to our neighborhood. And it's one of three that have gone up in the past 3 years. So just in our neighborhood, an influx of 15,000 to 20,000 people in our neighborhood. That's the rate that the cities are growing. Tim Keller tweeted a while ago, a tweet that we want to show you. Cities have more of the image of God per square inch than any other place on earth. And for some of us, that makes us uncomfortable because you're like, what are you trying to say? Like, we're not important to God if we don't live in a city. No, that's not what we're trying to say. But what we do believe is that God has created humanity in his image. And if I can stand up here and tell you that there are cities that are filled with 4 million, 10 million, 25 million people, we know that there is an image of God that is stamped on that place. And even though we can see the city for all of the bad things and maybe see it as a valley of dry bones, we feel like God is telling the church, don't see it as just a valley of dry bones. See it as a place that I desire for my image to be found once again.
Let's add to this a few statistics so that you really know the reality. We did some investigation. Where do we have the most population? So we set the bar at 100,000 people. So, okay, how many people in our region, those 32 countries, live in a city of 100,000 people or more? We found out it was 60%. 60%. So we thought, clearly that amount or even more is going to be, you know, of our churches, of our Nazarenes, are going to be in those areas too. We found that really there are only 30% of our Nazarenes, and sometimes often evangelical Christians, only 30% were in those big cities. Oh, no. And it wasn't just the statistics that started to overwhelm us. It was actually that we went in and we said, okay, we're going to try to equip the city churches to reach their people. Man, I mean, we found some messed up stuff. I mean, some of the city churches, they had no vision for their city. They hadn't prayed for their city. Some of their prayer times were just praying for grandma's big toe. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you've been in places like that. You know, hey, God cares about all of that stuff. But you know what? When was the last time that we prayed for lost and broken people? When was the last time we said, let's be creative? We love being here because, man, you're talking about prayer walks. You're talking about getting out. You're talking about VBS. By the way, whoever's playing drums, I thought that Jeep was going to go off the stage, man. That was awesome. You guys are starting to get it, man. You guys are understanding. God has created us not for our own selves. He has created us for His glory, but also so that others may share in that glory. And so as we started to realize that, we said, man, the Valley of the Dry Bones isn't just the city, it's also the church that is in the city. We have met the enemy and he is us. You remember that? You know, I mean, we realize we have got to see a change in our city. And it really reminds me of Ezekiel. There's a point where Jehovah God says, Ezekiel, man, you're in the middle of death. Can these bones live? And I don't know about you, as a missionary, I want to be like, yes, absolutely, I know they can. But when you're in the heart of death, in the heart of hopelessness, in the heart of the valley of the dry bones, maybe you, just like Ezekiel, said, Lord, only you know.
So we find ourselves living in the middle of a city. We find ourselves being in the middle of a church that doesn't really care about her city. And Ezekiel speaks to us once again. Because through the verses 4 through 10, you can start to see that God says, prophesy to these bones. And there was a noise, a rattling sound, and bones came together, tendons and flesh appeared and covered them. As missionaries, that's where we find ourselves right now, of prophesying to the bones, of mobilizing the church to care about her city, of saying these are people worthy of investing in. And so as we start to see some of these types of actions, I want you to close your eyes for just a second and imagine Ezekiel. Close your eyes. I know some of you are still staring at me because I can see you. Close your eyes and imagine yourself standing in the middle of a valley of dry bones. And the minute that you start prophesying to them, all of a sudden you hear a rattling sound. And all of a sudden you start to see movement take place. And immediately you start to see one bone come together with another bone. And you see another bone come together and you see skeletons start to be formed. And that gets really exciting. But then all of a sudden you start to see tendons come on top. And muscles come on top and you kind of are grossed out. And then all of a sudden you see the skin come on top of those bodies. I want you to open your eyes this morning. Because I think sometimes that's the type of movement that we are seeing. We get excited. We get grossed out. We don't quite know what to do, but this is an amazing action of God. Ezekiel is prophesying to dry bones, and immediately God gets to work. Immediately something starts to happen, but there's something that stops short. Because Ezekiel says, I saw all of this amazing stuff take place, but there was still no breath in them.
So it says later on that I prophesied, Ezekiel says, Ezekiel 37, as he commanded me, and then breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. That's pretty important. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff going on, a little gross, as she said, you know, but then all of a sudden there's just, oh, this is amazing. A lot of us would be satisfied at that point. Oh, but they weren't an army yet. They weren't on their feet at that point. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit came in a powerful way that they were on their feet, that they were a mighty army. And we want to kind of tell you a little story about how that's starting to happen in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. Well, really, we had to work with the youth. We had talked with a lot of the other leaders and the adults, and some of them had just kind of been in the Valley of the Dry Bones so long, they didn't know really if the bones could live. They didn't really have much vision for the city. And so we started to work with our youth, and we were saying, how could we mobilize all these churches to reach out? How could we do it? And the youth came up with this idea. They said, let's do this day and dedicate a holiday that we have. It was a Monday, April 29th. And they said, let's dedicate that day to urban invasion. And I was like, kind of like, hey, that kind of sounds militant. You know, Like, let's be politically correct here. Like, we're not going to. And they're like, no, we're absolutely going to go in because we're the church and God is sending us and we need to impact our city. I was like, okay, okay. Sounds good. Let's do it. And so they said, here's what we're going to do. And we kind of worked with them and we were getting it all ready. They set a bar. They said 100 people. And I said, well, 100 teens, you know, for that day. And they said, no, everybody. I said, oh, so like teens and adults. They said, no, kids too. I was like, but we're going to have to babysit the kids. They said, no, we're going to train the kids to be able to preach to other kids. I was like, what? That's awesome. So they set the goal at 100. The day came, and we had set the morning for training. And you can see some of those photos. But we had set that morning, and at 8 o'clock, man, I don't know if you guys know, some of you came down to Dominican Republic, and some of you in November kind of come down. When we say 8 o'clock, it doesn't always start at 8. But at 8 o'clock, we had 100 people there. We were like, yes, we're going to start on time. Problem is, at 8:30, we had another 100. By 9 o'clock, their total was 225 people. 25 of those were kids under the age of 12. There were a lot of adults. There were a lot of teens. We started to train them. We were asking the neighbors for chairs because we hadn't planned for 225. And so the neighbor, what's going on? Yeah, okay, yeah, I got 10 chairs. I got, you know. So we're just using them all. We slammed into that area and we started to talk about what are creative ways to reach our community? What are the specific areas that we're going to go to? And we just started to pray also for our city.
What got our attention the most is that these were city churches that were coming to receive training on how to reach their own city. Don't miss that. There are Nazarenes that are saying, you know, we live here and we don't know how to reach our own community. We don't know how to be relevant in our own community. How do we share the testimony that God's given us with our own communities? And I remember when we were doing registration that morning, as the church was coming in and we were assigning them to their places, we were going to go to 5 different communities. So during registration, we would take their name down and we would tell them what community they were assigned to. And during that morning, I remember at least 10 different people because I was the one telling them the community they would go to. And I would say, oh, you're here, here's your t-shirt, and you're going to Los Guandules. And all of them, their faces would look at me, and they're like, where am I going? And I would say, you're going to Los Guandules. Do you know where that is? And like, of course I know where I'm going. Are you sure we're going to Los Guandules? And I said, yes, I'm pretty sure we're going to Los Guandules. And the reason why they reacted that way is because Los Guandules is a neighborhood of Santo Domingo that's 85,000 people in it. It lives alongside of the most contaminated river in Santo Domingo. And it's mostly contaminated because that neighborhood has zero sanitation system for their residents. They have a very high poverty rate. And the most dangerous gangs are known to be centered in Los Guandules. And so when we told the young people and the children and the adults, you're assigned to Los Guandules, they looked at us like we were crazy. They said, no way we should be going there. And we even felt that a little bit. When the car pulled into the neighborhood, Scott was like, I feel like I need to lock the door like 14 times to make sure it's really locked because potentially when we come back here, this car's not going to be here. Or if it's here, it's not going to have any windows in it. Like, it's that type of neighborhood. And as we went into Los Guandules that day, we had trained the youth to be aware and to know what was going on, but to use some of the ways that they had seen God at work in their own lives. And one of the activities that they participated in were beauty treatments for the women of that neighborhood. And as they brought some of the tents that they had set up and put out some chairs, and they started combing hair and putting braids in the women's hair, and they started doing some facial treatments, but not just to be in movement. They didn't want to just be the bones that came together, because as they were doing all of those beauty treatments, they were telling the women, did you know that you were created in God's image and that you're important to God? And I can almost guarantee you the women of that community and the young girls of that community did not hear a message like that in their everyday life. They hear the message of the city saying, if you want to be important, buy this makeup. If you want to look good, buy this, buy these types of clothes. And they knew they were never going to be able to do that. They had husbands and boyfriends that were abusing them because of the family violence that takes place in that neighborhood. And for a church to come in and say, you are beautiful and you are God's creation. We started to see movement of dry bones in that day. Because the church started to bring words of life into a community that needed them.
But then we had to also say, how do we get to the men? Well, in Dominican Republic, if you've been there, you know the biggest pastime for the men is to play dominoes. Some of you guys are like, I want to sign up for the next trip. I like dominoes. You know what? Dominoes normally for the guys is the time to drink and listen to terrible music and just tell terrible jokes, right? But we designed an entire tournament, you know, a dominoes tournament. And so we just kind of mixed, and we just had, you know, some of the people from the church and some of us, and we started to get to know the guys. For the youth, we actually designed a tournament, a baseball tournament. Baseball is king there, you know. And so we just were playing in the streets, and we were doing this tournament. As we started there, the pastor came up, and she said to me, just so you know, the people you're playing baseball with, well, they're the main people in charge of the gangs. And I said, okay, should we stop playing? She's like, oh, no, keep playing. I just wanted you to know. It's like, what? What does that even mean? I mean, and so we just ended up having, like, the Nazarenes versus the gang members, you know? And we're playing. And I have to tell you, I'd love to say, you know, we beat them. They were good. I mean, they whipped us, you know? It was bad. It started to rain at the end, and I kind of, my hands started sweating. I mean, I'm a missionary, but I realized, oh, shoot, I mean, we've been playing and having a fun time with them, but now, like, someone's got to present the gospel, you know? Someone's got to tell them why we're here. And I was looking at the teens, and I was like, that's probably me, you know? I looked over, and one of the guys, especially 6 years earlier, we had met, his name's Harrison, and we had met Harrison, and I said, you know, I know it's not going to be Harrison. When we had met him, he was in the way more than he was helping, you know what I mean? I mean, it was one of those things that as a 16-year-old, like, you're just like, please, could you just not be a part of the next event? I mean, I'm sorry to say that. You know, I'm such a terrible missionary. But, you know, I just was like, you are causing more trouble than it's worth. And so I'm looking at these guys. I was like, okay, it's my job. So it's starting to rain, so we get under this awning. And then I open my mouth to start kind of saying whatever the Lord's going to help me to say to these gang members, you know. And before I actually say anything, I hear Harrison. Harrison's the one taking the selfie right there. I hear Harrison, and he starts, like, in this language, because he's from the street, and he starts preaching to these guys. I'm like, what? My role in that moment was to shut up and pray. And he just said, we're not here just to play baseball. We're here because God has transformed our lives. And guys, I can tell you what. In Los Guandules, in the place where even the church was like, we ain't going there, we saw through beauty treatments, through dominoes, through preaching to the gang members after baseball, we saw people come to know the Lord in that day. We saw the bones were, yes, amen, we saw the bones that were starting to come together, but it wasn't just bones, and it wasn't just tendons and flesh and skin. I mean, God's Spirit was moving in a powerful way.
Another neighborhood that we worked in that day, its name was Quisqueya. And Quisqueya couldn't be any further different than Los Guandules than anything else in the world, because Quisqueya is one of our biggest business districts in Santo Domingo. And so there's a lot of money there. There's a lot of businesses. If you live in Quisqueya, it's probably because you're a business owner. And so we didn't do the same type of strategies that we did with Los Guandules. In fact, one of the main strategies of Quisqueya was to walk down the streets and to bless the businesses in our community. Because the church needed to learn to pray for her city. In Jeremiah 29, it says, pray for the peace of this city. Because when the city prospers, you too will prosper. And so we were teaching them that in the training. We're going to pray for our city. When the city prospers, we as the church will prosper as well. And they were trained to go and just bless the city. And as they were behind all of these businesses, they were trained as well to be aware of when the Holy Spirit might be opening a door for them to share the gospel. And so they knew that maybe if somebody said, hey, what are you doing? Or is there something I can help you with? That they would just introduce themselves as a part of the Church of the Nazarene. We're here to pray for our city. Is there anything I can pray about for you this afternoon? And so we went and did that in teams of four. And I remember my group of four, we were going down the streets and we would spend about 5 to 10 minutes in one place. And I could see another group right on the other side that were pretty parallel with us for about 15 or 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden I didn't see the group anymore for about 2.5 hours. I was like, what in the world is going on? What happened? Her name is Maggie. I said, what happened to Maggie's group? And we all met back at the end of the afternoon. And I said, Maggie, what happened? You guys were right there for 15 minutes. Where did you go? And she said, I have to tell you what happened this afternoon. She said, we spent about 2 hours in one place. And I said, well, what's going on? And she said, you know, do you see that gas station right there? I mean, literally was right across the street from where we were at in the church building. She said, we started down that street. And she said, we were getting ready to pass the gas station. She said, there was just something weird about that gas station, and it felt just kind of dark. We didn't really want to go in. We felt like there was something that was keeping us from going in. And we stood on the sidewalk, and we prayed for the business like we were supposed to. And we started to talk to each other. Well, should we go in? There's obviously people there. Or should we stay here? And one would say yes, and one would say no. And they finally got up the courage to say, we're just going to go in. And in the Dominican Republic, they pump your gas for you. And so there were about 4 or 5 young guys that were there just working that day. And they said, hi, we're with the Church of the Nazarene. And told what they were doing, is there anything that we can pray for you about? And the guys really didn't give them the time of day. No, we're fine. And they were kind of relieved because they were like, something feels weird here. And so they turned to leave. But God in His Holy Spirit and His grace helped them to hear when there was a young man standing in the corner watching them the whole time say, hey, come over here, I want to talk to you. And so they were like, you want to talk to us? And he said, yeah, I want to talk to you. And so they came back to where the young man was. And he said, I just heard you say you're with the Church of the Nazarene. And they said, yes, we're here. And he said, I want to tell you what happened to me 3 weeks ago. Young man, probably about 28, 30 years old. He said, 3 weeks ago, I was an alcoholic. He said, I was addicted to alcohol, and I could not stop. He said, it's ruining my life. It was ruining my family. I tried everything I could to stop drinking alcohol. He said, I was leaking in my community. I was trying to do it by myself, and I got to the point 3 weeks ago that I just cried out to God, God, just release me from this alcohol. And He did. He said, 3 weeks it's been since I've had any drop of alcohol. He said, and I know that God is real, but I don't know how to know Him. And I have been praying that God would help me to know how to know Him. He said, and it's not by chance that you're here today, because I've been praying that God would send somebody to me. He said, can you tell me how I can know who God is? And they were so shocked and surprised. In the Church of the Nazarene, we call that prevenient grace. We say that the Spirit goes before us and He's going to open those doors. And if we're just willing to walk through the doors, then He's going to open it up for us. And they shared the gospel with him. And that man said, you don't have to convince me. I am willing to believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he prayed a prayer that day, and he's receiving follow-up by the pastor of the Kiskeya Church of the Nazarene. But it's all because the church said, we're not going to be just content with the movement or the rattle of the bones and excited that we're actually doing something in the community, because the word was spoken into life that day. Dry bones started to come to life that day in Kiskeya.
You see, when we get our mind and our eyes off of ourselves, and we start to look to the valley, look to the dry bones, and not just view it as death, hopelessness, but say, Lord, only you know. Would you have a plan for here? That's when His Holy Spirit says, I was waiting for you to view it that way. I was wanting to use you to bring about the change. We ended the entire day with a concert. Well, let me kind of clarify. It was pouring down rain, so we couldn't do the concert in the massive park that we had rented. Oh, we were frustrated. We prayed. Oh, God, we had so much faith, I tell you, and he still didn't stop that rain. But you know what happened? When we were going to have the concert, if everything was fine weather-wise, people would have been passing by, families with their kids, buying some different things. But because of the rain, there was only one gazebo, pretty big gazebo, but not for 225 people. And there was one gazebo that everyone just all of a sudden was like, we're going to take shelter. And so 225 of us, along with vendors, along with families, along with a bunch of other people. You guys can see the picture here, man. Maybe you can't get the idea. But we're just like, the only dry place is under this roof. And the guys that were going to do the concert, they didn't have their amp, they didn't have their mics, they didn't have any of that stuff. But they were like, we still have our instruments. And in Dominican Republic, I don't know about you guys, but we move. I mean, when it's music, I mean, they're going. And so they're just playing the drums, and they're just going crazy, and they're singing, and it's all praise and worship. You know, at a certain moment, Emily just said, okay, we've sung for a while here. You know, let's just pray for our city. And as we started to pray for our city, a lot of us kind of looked, and we were like, oh, man, I didn't even realize, but this guy isn't even from our group. And so we said, well, can we pray with you? Through that moment, a lot of us, kids, talking to kids, youth talking to youth, adults to adults, all of us started to just pray for the different people and vendors and other people that were right there. And God again brought people into his knowledge, into his relationship. God's Holy Spirit was moving. You know how we ended the entire day? Urban invasion. We had a huge circle. 225, but it was more than 225. Why? Well, because God was already moving in those people's hearts. And so some of those vendors and some of those other people grabbed a hand and said, can I pray with you? What? What is happening, Lord? And God didn't stop the rain because he knew he had another plan. My question as we kind of close is, what is that place in your life that's dry? You see, at the very end of that passage, he says, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. The whole key to this whole thing is not, oh, that's a new technique. We should have urban invasion everywhere. We should do this. No, you know what? That was one day, right? That was an important day. And it was important because of what God did in the city, but it was just as important because of what God did in the church.
Amen.
The church that hadn't seen their city before. The church that said, I don't think these bones can live. And the church was the one that was revived. Could it be that you find yourself in a place that you say, only you know, Lord. I mean, honestly, I'd love to have all the faith in the world, but I've prayed for this person for so long, and I haven't seen any progress. I mean, man, I've prayed for that part of my city, and I haven't seen anything. Lord, only you know. And he says, before I revive all of them, I want to know, are you willing? Are you willing to have my spirit in you? Mm. We're going to be singing here in a little bit. I'm going to invite Pastor to come up as well. And I don't know how they want to close this, but I just think we're not supposed to just share kind of some nice thing about happening in Dominican Republic. I think it probably has to do with Flushing. I think it probably has to do with us. What does God want to do in you? Are you going to be content with the rattling? Oh, a lot of us would be satisfied. That is amazing. Look at all those bodies. There were bones and now there's bodies. Or are you going to say, oh, no, no, no. That's not what we want. We don't just want movement. We don't just want cool sounds. We don't want just something that looks good. We want those bodies to stand up, to be a mighty army.
Amen.
For the Holy Spirit to enter into them. Lord, we need more of your presence. Lord, we need more of your Holy Spirit in our lives.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.